Is it really possible that darkness can be the genesis of new light? Is that possible? Jesus used a parable. Unless a seed fall into the ground and die, it never produces fruit. New life comes from the darkness of the womb. Through tradition, we sort of have the picture that Jesus was born during the night in a stable in Bethlehem. What about those silent nights, dark nights of the soul when it seems God is absent? You cannot hear his voice. You have trouble discerning his ways, and you're just not sure what is going on. But here's a thought. Grab this one if you can. God wastes nothing, not even the darkness. Think about that. You see, we believe it. God works in all things to the good for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. Even the dark times of life. A 16th century mystic wrote a poem entitled Dark Night of the Soul. And in it, this writer says, the darkness is what draws us to total reliance on God. When we can't see what God is doing, when we can't see the circumstances, when we don't understand life itself. It's those times that we are drawn to total, complete reliance on God. The light that gives hope today was birthed 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. Hope is never lost. In a benediction in the letter to the Romans, the apostle writes, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. The prophet Isaiah foretold this hope with an interesting metaphor. Approximately 740 years before Jesus was born. The imagery was a shoot sprouting from the stump of a tree cut down and left to decay. Listen to this prophecy. Reflect on it. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and of understanding. The Spirit of counsel and of might. The Spirit of the knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, faithfulness the sash around his waist. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. But in the middle of this prophecy is an interesting announcement of an age of peace that is sometimes called the Messianic Kingdom. One rabbi said to me, "Jesus can't be Messiah because we aren't here yet." Well, that reality is true. That doesn't deny the deity of Jesus for us. But look at the promise. Look at this great picture. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put her hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Wow, what a picture. Messianic kingdom. The shoot coming from the stump of Jesse. Life. My dear friends, Jesus is the fulfillment of this prophecy. Jesus is the shoot sprouting from that stump of Jesse. Jesus is our hope. He is the hope of our world. You see, the stump of Jesse portrays Israel as a nation cut down and carried away. The Babylonians thought they could scatter that little nation of Israel and Judah throughout their empire and wipe away all memory of it from the world, they thought. It sort of became the background of what you sometimes hear as the diaspora. The scattering of the Jews through the world. Those Babylonians saw themselves as their new world. But they did not know the Most High God who had birthed that nation of Israel. He had birthed that nation to represent him to the world. And his promise to the patriarch of that nation was, "I will bless you. I will make of you a great nation, and all peoples will be blessed through you." That's God's covenant. All through the years, that nation forgot her identity and heritage. She maintained the rituals and the routines, but she lost the relationship. She tried to just live as a normal nation, one among the many nations of the world, and she tried acting like those nations. She ultimately became captive to the empire of Babylon. A massive tree cut down. But even though dispersed, God preserved that nation, and after 70 years of captivity, drew a large number of her people back to that promised land, reestablished Jerusalem. But it's in keeping with that ancient covenant that God sent his son Jesus into the world. That shoot coming from that stump is none other than Jesus. And through Christmas, we celebrate the coming of Jesus. And we also look forward to the second advent, the second coming of Jesus at the close of this age. Yes, a stump of Jesse, but the shoot from the stump of Jesse is Jesus, Messiah sent by God to establish God's kingdom, which will ultimately be fulfilled in heaven. Wow. Go back and reflect on some of the reflections of the prophet Isaiah, inspired by the Holy Spirit. the work of this Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. That's his power. That's his identity. That's his strength. That's the way he identified himself. A spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. Messiah will delight in reverence and fear of the Lord. He will judge the needy with righteousness. Wow. Not with sentiment, not with feeling sorry, but with righteousness that leads in righteousness. He will make justice decisions for the poor of the earth. One of the common declarations and condemnations of ancient Israel was that its judges made judgments out of bribes from the rich and not giving fair treatment to the poor. That's what Messiah will do. He will strike the earth and slay the wicked. That's a picture that is very prominent in the Revelation. He will establish his new kingdom, a kingdom of peace. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the nations. They will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. Excuse me. This hymn is repeated throughout the New Testament. Jesus teaching about his second coming, recorded for us Matthew chapters 24 and 25. It's declared again through a hymn of the old early church, which is spelled out for us in the second chapter of the letter to the Philippians, and then throughout the book of the Revelation. I remind you today, that last book of the Bible, what is its real title? Revelations or Revelation? Which is it? Revelation. Single. Look at it. I dare you. It might blow some of your minds. It's not revelations, visions, and all of this. It's the revelation. There's only one true revelation that's clear. And you know what that revelation is in the revelation? God wins. God wins. Jesus is Lord. Oh, there's a lot of visions, and John tries to describe what's going to happen, and we just bog down, and we try to make all scientific statements out of it, and we try to wrap it up. There's only one statement. There's only one truth. God wins. That's it. His kingdom. Don't bog down trying to describe it all. God wins. Live it today. The root of Jesse, Jesus, will stand as a banner for the peoples, and the nations will rally to him, and his place will be glorious. That truth lives today through the church. Jesus announced that he would advance God's kingdom through his church. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell and death shall not stop it. Oh, he announced he would build that church through women and men who really believe in him as the Lord, the Son of the living God, the hope of the world. What makes us church is not as we gather as church or we get do different things as a church. What makes us church is our faith in Jesus Christ as Lord. That's what makes us church. That's what makes us who we are. Never forget, friends, this is not your church. It's not my church. It's not the new pastor's church. Whose church is it? Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that? Be careful, because next week I'm going to ask you who you belong to. Jesus will build his church. Oh, the center of his focus was that day was a guy called Simon. Simon had just made that declaration of faith. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Simon, Jesus said. Now I'm going to make you a rock. And they're going to call you Peter. Oh, Peter must have really caught on to that one big, because later on he made this observation in his first letter to the church recorded in the New Testament. You are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone, God's temple. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. That means you are a priest. You are a priest. Bernie, you're a priest. Lord, help us. Gladys, you're a priest. You got that? You're a priest. My first calling is to be a priest of the Lord Jesus Christ. He happens to have called me to prepare myself to serve as a pastor within God's church. A nation of priests. And together we are his church. And with other Christians throughout the world, we are the ones who make the difference in our world. Jesus says his church will introduce his hope to the world. That shoot is a metaphor for every believer and follower of Jesus as we come to faith in Jesus. Oh, there are other metaphors regarding us as church that fit in with this idea of a shoot from the stump of Jesse. In the letter to the Romans chapter 11, we're likened to branches grafted into the tree. That's an interesting one. Or Jesus used a different analogy. He's the vine, we are the branches. And Jesus said, if we do what? If we remain in him, his love and his spirit flow through us, and we will bear fruit. Yes, with deep sadness, we are coming to the close of children's school as a major ministry of this church. But I wonder what God has next. What does God have next? What does God have next? If we remain in him and he remains in us, he says, we will bear much fruit. Friends, you know what that means? You can't depend on children's school during your mission work for you. Think about it. It's done a great job. But it's not the end. We're God's church. We live as citizens of the kingdom of God, a branch of the family of Jesse and Israel. Yes, Jesus is the answer. Back in the 70s, not really all that long ago, gospel songwriter wrote it this way: Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. If you have some questions in the corners of your mind, traces of discouragement and peace you cannot find, reflections of your past seem to face you every day, but there's one thing I want you to know. Jesus is the way. I know some of you want me to sing. I don't want you to sing. I want you to look at the lyrics. I want you to understand the words. So I don't want, don't just do, some of you, you already headed off. You're into verse number 3. You're singing it. You're just getting that swing going. I don't want you to do that. Stop. Stop. Because Andre says some good things for us. He says, I got to move on to the next verse, don't I? I know that you've got mountains that you think you cannot climb. I know your skies look so dark that you think the sun will never shine. Been there? You understand that one? But in case you don't know it, I tell you, God's word is true. Everything that he has promised, I know. He will do it for you. Okay, so all you baby boomers and Gen Xers, join me. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Oh, with that, I invite you to the Lord's table to receive God's grace. On the evening when things were going to get pretty dark for 12 disciples, Jesus led them through Passover meal. Another day that for their ancestors was going to look pretty dark too. He took the bread. He broke it. And he said to them, "This is my body, broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." And then he took the cup, blessed it, passed it among them. "All of you, drink of this. It's the covenant of my blood poured out for you, for the forgiveness of sin on this earth.